prayer team is going to be available again this morning after the service. Maybe you don't need prayer for yourself, but maybe there's someone in your life, someone that you know that needs prayer. Then come forward and come pray with them for that person. That's why they are there. We thank you for this time, Lord. We've been standing in prayer before you for these 3 weeks, just talking about the joy of prayer, the power of prayer. And in this morning, as we end this series, we pray again that you will move mightily in this place. We want to quiet our hearts before you, and we want to allow your Spirit to speak. Thank you, Spirit, for doing that. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praying with joy. Is that something you do? And I don't mean just in the good times when things are going well and life is good. I'm talking about in all circumstances. Also when life is really not good. It's quite the challenge, isn't it? Praying with joy. So we're going to talk about that this morning, and Paul's going to teach us about that. And to help us with that, Abigail Ortiz is going to come and do our reading for us. Comes from the book of Philippians today, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And it's from the New Century Version.
Good morning, everyone. I thank God every time I remember you, always praying with joy for all of you. I thank God for the help you gave me while I preached the good news, help you gave from the first day you believed until now. God began doing a good work in you, and I am sure he will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. And I know that I am right to think like this about all of you, because I have you in my heart. All of you share in God's grace with me while I am in prison and while I am defending and proving the truth of the good news. God knows that I want to see you very much because I love all of you with the love of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more, that you will have knowledge and understanding with your love, that you will see the difference between good and bad and will choose the good, that you will be pure and without wrong for the coming of Christ, that you will be filled with the good things produced in your life by Christ to bring glory and praise to God.
Thank you, Abigail. Can we say thank you? Thank you to the young adults that have been helping us the last 3 weeks and doing the readings. Really appreciate that. Thank you. You are such a blessing. I love Paul and I love the prayers that Paul gives us, but I know if it's just me or if I'm just getting old, but he writes difficult. It's not easy. You have to read him again and again and again to get it. So we're going to walk through this beautiful passage again this morning, but let me give you a little background on this. So when he writes this letter, it's about 10 years from the first time that he visited Philippi. His first visit didn't go down all that well. You can read about that in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were together in Philippi. While they were working in Philippi, they saw this young slave girl who, according when we read Acts 16, had this spirit in her that could tell the future. She was being abused by her owners. So Paul and Silas went up to her, lay hands on her, and they got rid of this demon thing that was in her. These people who owned her were really, really angry at Paul and Silas because they'd just taken away their source of income. So they went to the authorities. The authorities came and they put Paul and Silas in jail. But they didn't just put them in jail. They beat them really badly, flogged them. dumped them in the inner part of the jail, put them in the stocks, and left them there. That's Paul's first experience of Philippi. So Paul and Silas in jail, sitting down there, and their situation is helpless, hopeless. They don't know what tomorrow holds. They don't know if they're ever going to get out of this situation. And what do? Verse 25 is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, Acts 16, 25. Around midnight, it says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs of praise and joy to the Lord. Isn't that stunning? Everything is a mess. They don't even know if they have hope. And they sing with joy. See, here's the thing. Praying with joy is radical. Praying with joy is powerful. Because here's the thing. The source of my joy is not my circumstances. You look at their circumstances, it was rotten. The source of my joy is not my feelings. What do you think was going through their heads? Do you think they were sitting there thinking, man, this is cool. This is life. I really enjoy life. They would be sitting there thinking, man, this hurts badly. I'm bleeding. I don't know if I'm getting out of this place. And yet they sing. Yet they pray with joy because here's the thing. The source of my joy is found in God and in my confidence in God, that God is there in each and every circumstance of my life. Can I say that again? The source of my joy is found in my confidence in God, that God is there in every circumstance of my life. And when we pray powerful, radical prayers in joy, the miracles happen. Because can you remember how the story ends? As they were praying and as they were singing, God sent an earthquake and the doors of the prison broke open. And the shackles fell off their hands and their feet, and Paul and Silas walked right out of that jail. And then one of the greatest miracles, the first congregation in Europe, is planted in Philippi, praying prayers of joy. So 10 years later, Paul writes the letter to them. And when he writes this letter, where do we find Paul? Sitting in jail again. Because remember I told you, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, those four, they're known as the prison letters because Paul was in jail when he wrote them. So he's sitting in jail again. Wonderful circumstances, right? Everything perfect, sitting in jail. And what does he say? I'm going to just go through this with you again. I thank God every time. So he's not praying yet, giving them a little information. I thank my God every time I remember you, always praying with joy for all of you. And then he says, because I know that God began doing a good work in you, and I'm sure he will continue until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. Paul says, I'm sitting here in jail. Life's not amazing, I got to tell you that. But when I think of you, I pray for you with joy. Despite my circumstances, and maybe, do you think Paul knew that some of them were also going through tough times? That maybe Paul knew that some of them were also struggling with things that come to you in life and they struggle to deal with those things in their lives? That maybe Paul knew that they too were struggling with anxiety and being discouraged sometimes with all the things that are thrown at you? And in this moment, he reminds them, and he says, I know it's tough. I can attest to that. I'm sitting in jail. And before they put me in jail, go read about this. He tells us how many times he got the 13 of the 40 whiplashes minus one, just in case they were kind of not counting all that well, sitting with a broken back. I'm sitting there with all of this. But can I encourage you? Because can I tell you, the one who is at work in your life is God, and God will continue to work in your life. And then he says, because I know he started the good works in you, and God will not stop that. Can I just say that to you, friends? When life gets tough and things get thrown at you, and we kind of feel I'm stuck, and we kind of feel I'm alone, God has not stopped working in your life, because God does not stop working in your life until he has finished what he started in your life, and he's not finished with you yet. You're still a work in progress. That's why some days you still fail. That's why some days you still fall. Get your face in the mud. But says Paul, of this I am convinced that God will not stop. God does not give up halfway. God does not bail out when the going gets tough. God sticks with you, and God will be with you, because here's the thing. All of these things around us and all of these things that come at us, they are temporary. But God is forever. And when we are faced with the temporary, we can handle it. Why? Because my focus is on forever. Remember the old story I told you about this pastor who was called from one of the hoods? And he came to this fancy pants place in church, and they drove him through the neighborhood and they showed him. And then he got into the church and they showed him this beautiful building. And the old pastor got up there and he says, oh, you got beautiful homes. You got beautiful cars. And you got a beautiful building. But I could go get some of the boys from the hood. And we could write something on your cars and on your homes and on your church. And the boys would write, temporary. Then he called a little kid and a mom and a dad. And he stood them up there and he said, but the boys will write on them, forever. Because all the things around us, my friends, are temporary, but we can face them. Because our God is forever. And he will continue working in you the good works forever. It does not stop. Verse 7. I know that I'm right to think like this about you. Isn't that cool? I'm right to think about you that God's continuing to work in you. And God's going to take care of you. Because I have you in my heart. And all of you share in God's grace with me while I am in prison. And while I'm defending and proving the truth of the good news. He says, I know about this stuff. I know how this feels, just like you. I'm in prison. But then he says, even when I don't know it, God is working. Even when I don't feel it, God is working. Even if I don't see it, God is working. Scott, bring your guitar and come sing Waymaker. Isn't that what we sing? Even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I don't know it, he's working, because you're the way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Even if I don't see it, even if it doesn't feel like it, even if I'm sitting in prison, I know that you and I are part of God's grace. Tell me something. Tell me something. Where would we be but for the grace of God? What would we be but for the grace of God? Tell me, where is the limit to God's grace in your and my life? Because I look at my life and I think, holy smokes, can you love me? God says, of course I do, because my grace is all sufficient over you. When I come to the end of my own self, God's grace overwhelms me, because what can stop the grace of God? When I was completely lost, by grace I was saved. Paul says, by grace. But he says, don't get me wrong. I'm not making light of your difficult times. I'm not making light of sometimes life just overwhelming you. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I know what I'm talking about. But can I remind you that the way you get through the temporary times, the way you can face the temporary times, is by focusing on the one who is forever. Isn't that where sometimes we make the mistake? We focus on the temporary, and we don't know how to face them. You can face them when you focus in the right place. So this, says Paul, verse 9, is my prayer for you. And now he gets to the prayer. He set them up, and now the prayer. This is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more, that you will have knowledge and understanding with your love, and that you will see the difference between good and bad, and that you will choose the good, that you will be pure, that you will be without wrong for the coming of Christ. I pray that you will be filled with the good things produced in your life by Christ, so that what can happen? So that you can bring glory and praise to God. The day is coming when we will all face forever. What will matter then will not be the temporary things in our lives, but how we lived for the forever. Paul is not praying that God will change his circumstances, that God will take away his struggles, that God will give him what he wants. Paul says, this is what I pray. I pray that you will grow in your love. Do you understand that word? We use it so easily. I love you. And then I've always said that if someone comes to you in the church and says, my dear brother, my dear sister, I want to tell you something in love, run as fast as you can, because they're going to hurt you like nobody's business. Ask me. I've been a minister for 42 years in my life, and I've heard those words often, and I still have the stripes on my back, because we abuse the word. Paul speaks of God's kind of love, the love that really comes to you and says, I love you with everything that is in me, even if sometimes I don't like you. I will love you the way that God loves me, with all my brokenness and all the messes in my life. I will love you. I will love you so much that I give you my son's life, says God. I will love you so much that I will open my arms and my heart to you. I pray that you will grow in that love, because you can only do that when Christ is in your heart and you know the forever. I pray that you will know him. And I've spoken about that know three Sundays now, where I said know means to have an intimate, first-hand relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no bigger prayer that I can pray for you and that we can pray for each other, that you may know Jesus Christ firsthand. In your life, in your heart, in your everything. And when that happens, that you may live such a life that God will be glorified. When you stand before the forever, that God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That is my prayer for you. Not that God take away the struggles or the anxiety. He'll do that too. I pray that every day you will know the presence of God. See, Paul's joy when he prays this does not come from those little blips of happiness that happen in our lives. His joy comes from having confidence in the forever one. I want to ask you this morning, do you know him in that way? Have you made that commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord? Many of you are saying, oh, we've been here forever. That's true. My question is still, have you made that commitment? Have you given it to him completely? Here is my life, Lord. I want to serve you. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you have. I'm going to pray in a moment for you, for me, for all of us. And if this is your day today to say, Lord, this is me, will you take over? Will you do that? I'm not going to call you to come stand up front because you're Presbyterians. You're scared to do that. But God will see you. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. God will see you. Because that's who he is. Maybe you need to recommit. Just say, Lord, maybe I need a little bit of recommitment. Take this moment. It is about forever that we're talking now. And about the temporary things. And if maybe afterwards you need to pray with someone, prayer team's going to be here. Don't be afraid. It's a joy to do that. Father, thank you that you are forever in a world full of so many temporary things that are here today and gone tomorrow. But you, Lord, are there forever and have been forever. Maybe there's someone in this place today, more than one, that needs to make this commitment. And I pray through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will help them. Maybe we need to recommit. So together we pray and we say, Father, forgive us when we have sinned. But thank you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have washed us clean, cleansed us. And in Jesus, I can come to you and say, Lord, come into my heart. Come live in me. Come put your forever in my life. I give you my life. I give you my everything. And I want to follow you. We ask that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.